What's going on, gym rats? This is Mr. Fundamental. Welcome to my podcast, Game Point with Mr. Fundamental. You can join me on Spotify, Google Podcast, Anchor, Breaker, Pocket Cast, Radio Public, and Stitcher. All you have to do is search Game Point with Mr. Fundamental. You'll find my silly picture there, and just listen and enjoy the sports. Let's get it. We're going to get into it right away. NFL free agency coming along. Teams are allowed to talk contracts, and then contracts can be filed on Wednesday. A lot of things going on right off the bat. Obviously, we've been talking about Antonio Brown for the last month with his crazy butt. And he was traded to the Raiders for a third and fifth round pick. And in addition to that, he signed a three-year deal worth $54 million, 30-year guaranteed. His old contract was for 3 years, 38, and I believe 22 of that was guaranteed left on that. This was a win-win for Antonio Brown. One, he got more money, and two, he got the hell out of Pittsburgh. So what a great deal for the Raiders, only giving up a third and fifth. It shows you that Pittsburgh was not going to get much. And I heard a lot of people saying, why did the Raiders do this? To me, I thought it was a great deal. You give up a third and fifth pick for arguably the best receiver talent-wise in the NFL. The three-year deal is $54 million. Obviously, the first year is fully guaranteed. The next year's will be two-thirds guaranteed. And the last year is not even guaranteed. So really, if he doesn't pan out for you, you can cut him after year two. But you need some offensive threats. John Gruden needed to make a splash. And he did so in a great way, getting Antonio Brown. With that said, Le'Veon Bell is now favored to land in Oakland to reunite with Antonio Brown. Imagine that happening. The Raiders' offense will change right away with Derek Carr looking to revamp himself. I mean, a lot of people are saying, are the Raiders going to draft a QB? Well, we don't know. But the Raiders are in pretty good position. Remember, they have three first-round picks in this coming draft. And with the signing, or excuse me, the trade of Antonio Brown and the possible signing of Bell, they can use all these draft picks on defense. They have four picks in the first 35. They also have two first-round picks next year. So to give up a third and fifth for Antonio Brown is a no-brainer. I mean, I'm a Patriots fan, and if the Patriots had the cap room, and they would send the third and fifth pick for Antonio Brown, even though he's a diva. I'm not a fan of Brown, but I think this is a win-win for the Raiders and Antonio Brown. As for Pittsburgh, yeah, this got to hurt a little bit. As a fan, you're probably happy that he's gone, but just to only get a third and fifth round pick is kind of, you know, it's kind of tough for them. You know, they got Juju Schuster over there at the wideout, but I think now, since he's the number one guy and you don't really have a number two guy in Pittsburgh, Juju's going to have a rough year because he will be double teamed. You don't understand, and a lot of people don't understand, in football, you have to have two good receivers because you have to have one take pressure off the other. If you only got one good receiver and the rest of them are garbage, your best guy is going to get double teamed and you're not going to get anything vertical. So right now, Pittsburgh's got a lot of work to do on the offensive side, especially losing those two guys this past season. So Pittsburgh's in a lot of trouble, especially with the aging Ben Roethlisberger. Think about this. Just 2 years ago, he was talking about retirement. If I were sitting in his house right now thinking, man, look at the weapons I don't have anymore, he might retire anyway. Great Hall of Fame career for him. But man, Pittsburgh is not looking so great right now. Hopefully they got a good draft or they pick up some talent off the free agent market. And wide receiver wise, there's not much talent off the wide receiver. You do have DeSean Jackson. He's being shot by the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I don't know if that would be a great fit for Pittsburgh. All DeSean Jackson can really do is go vertical. He's not a very great route runner. So if you're Pittsburgh, you're kind of in tough shape. Danny Amendola from the Miami Dolphins, ex-Patriot, signed with the Detroit Lions. Slot receiver, got $4.8 million. That's a good deal for them. I'm not sure it's a great deal for Detroit, but Detroit does need more in the slot for Matthew Stafford to play a lot better. These slot receivers are coming very valuable in the last few years. You know, these guys, especially with the pass rush, much improved over the years. You need a guy that can get open and open quick. So a good deal right there for Detroit as they're trying to improve, as Matt Patricia's pulling a lot of expatriates. With that said, they also are going to sign their sack specialist and the expatriate, Trey Flowers. Matt Patricia gets him in Detroit. Trey Flowers was their best defensive lineman for the New England Patriots this past year. He's going to get between $16 to $17 million. Years haven't been put in place, but that deal was just announced. So that was a pretty big blow to the Patriots on the defensive side. But they did trade for Eagles defensive lineman Michael Bennett. Michael Bennett is 32, will be 33 next year. And a lot of people say, well, is this a tough move for the Pats? Well, he did have 9 sacks last year. He's still a very good player. And I think with losing Trey Flowers, bringing in a Michael Bennett was a must for the Patriots. And I figured they were going to lose Trey Flowers because they made this trade a couple days ago. And with that said, his brother, Martellus Bennett, the tight end, might come out of retirement and play for the Patriots so he can play with his brother for the first time. I can see this happening. And this would actually be a pretty good thing, especially if Ron Gronkowski retires. And even if he doesn't retire, with the loss of Dwayne Allen, their blocking tight end, bringing in Martellus Bennett would help the Patriots. More on the Patriots, because they lost even more. And this is the one, I want to see what you guys think about this. And I'm very happy for this young man because it just worked out perfect. Think about this. You're a left tackle, right tackle in the NFL. You're playing for the San Francisco 49ers. You started for a few years, but you weren't that great. And therefore, you were going to either be benched or released. You get traded to the dynasty of the New England Patriots. Their first round pick blows out his knee, and you become the starting left tackle for Tom Brady and the New England Patriots. You have a stellar year. You win a Super Bowl. And then you get a 4-year, $66 million contract. You're the highest paid offensive lineman in the NFL from the Oakland Raiders. $36 million guaranteed. I got a lot of thoughts on this contract signing. Just a year prior, the Patriots lost Nate Solder to the New York Giants for a multiple year deal worth about $62 million, like $16 million per. It was just as high as Brown's. And the more I think about this, is this fool's gold? Now, I know when you look at linemen, you look at their stats. How many sacks have they given up? You know, how many pancakes they got, things like that. But when you look at the New England Patriots, don't you think a lot has to do with Tom Brady getting the ball out in like 2 seconds? You saw in the Los Angeles Chargers game, Bosa was asking Brady, how do you get the ball out so quick? And Brady says, could you get here so quick? Now, Derek Carr is no Tom Brady. So even though Trent Brown had a great year last year, wouldn't you give a lot of credit to Brady? Because I know Nate Solder didn't do that great in New York for Eli Manning. He allowed some sacks. But this is what I would think if I was a GM. I wouldn't really put so much market or so much money into a new ex-New England lineman just because of Brady getting the ball out quick. Because I really can see if Derek Carr don't get the ball that quick, especially if he's got Antonio Brown out there, where he has to wait for him to get open. If Trent Brown even has a half-decent year, Derek Carr is going to get crushed. So I'm not really sure that this 4 years, $66 million fits Trent Brown. I'm happy for him. It's the perfect situation because he was looking to get cut for San Francisco 49ers. And he gets 4 years, $66 million, 36 guaranteed. Trent Brown, I'm proud of you, boy. That's great work. But I want to see if it's fool's gold. Because I want to see if it's because of Tom Brady gets the ball out so quick. I'm telling you, Tom Brady gets the ball out so quick, sometimes he don't need blockers. He gets the ball out that quick. So, like I said, I think Trent Brown's contract that he got might be more fool's gold. And so I'm not really sure Oakland's going to get what they really wanted out of this whole deal here, which is going to be very interesting. Like I said, it's very fun free agency. Let's move on from that. Kansas City, Colts released Justin Houston. He's a four-time Pro Bowler. I know they're switching to a 4-3. That's one of the reasons. I want to see where he goes. Justin Houston's still a good linebacker or defense end, or whatever you want to call him. They needed to release him because they didn't want that $15 million cap hit. Kansas City's got a lot of work to do on the defensive side. You hope that Steve Spagnuolo is the savior of all this and it's not so much personnel, because that was the reason why Kansas City didn't win a Super Bowl. I really did believe if Kansas City beat New England, Kansas City was going to beat the LA Rams. Kansas City was the most talented team on paper in the AFC by far. So they were sold themselves short this year by not making the Super Bowl. And the biggest reason was the defense, especially, you know, that big flag right there on Justin Houston in an AFC championship game, which probably hurt him a lot. But that's not the reason why he was released. Like I said, they were switching to a 4-3. They needed to make some moves. They tried to trade him. They couldn't get anything for him. And that's just the way the cookie crumbles, as they would say. So Kansas City's got a lot of work to do. Now, not much else has been said. I know, you know, there's some small signings. You know, the Bengals signed right tackle Bobby Hart to a 3-year, $21 million. Obviously, you heard Lions. They signed the Trey Flowers, which that's going to be huge for the Lions. They need to get that defense going. And then also, New York Giants Pro Bowl safety Landon Collins is going to sign a 6-year deal for $84 million with the Washington Redskins. So that's big money for safety Collins. That's also a big pickup for the Washington Redskins. That'll be very interesting there. So other than that, the 49ers also amped up their defense a little bit, signing ex-Buccaneers Quan Alexander, 4-year, $54 million. Half of that is guaranteed. So that's pretty, I'm not sure about that, because he just came off a torn ACL. And you're paying this guy over $10 million a year annually, and you don't know what he's going to bring you. Some of these, like I said, some of these teams, they just splurge too quick. So if I got to give a couple bad grades to teams, 49ers for signing Quan Alexander, that's a bad deal. And I really want to see what comes out of the left tackle Trent Brown in Oakland, because man, I really think that is fool's gold. I really do. Think about this, guys. Tom Brady gets the ball out of his hands that quick and you're gonna let Brown block your guy. Very athletic. Like I said, I'm very happy for him, and we'll see what happens with that. So not much else going on in the NFL. Obviously, we all love football, but we're going to move on. Little Major League Baseball, as you can see, things have kind of, you know, settled down in the free agent market after the Machado and Bryce Harper. Last week, if you didn't listen, I did roast Bryce Harper on his contract for 13 years. $330 million. I didn't like that whatsoever. Not much else is going on. It's kind of tough when you see all these free agents still out there and you got the season coming right around the corner. I mean, you got like closer Craig Kimbrel of the Boston Red Sox. I mean, he's a closer. He wants big time money. He's willing to sit out the whole year if he don't get what he wants. No one wants to give him what he wants. I understand why people don't want to give him what he wants, because if you watched the playoffs all last year, he was shaky. Even though he got the job done, he was very shaky. So a lot of teams don't want to, you know, shell out that money. With that said, let's talk about my top four World Series contenders in Major League Baseball. And you guys can, I wish you guys could tell me, but you guys can think about who your top four are. This is not in any order, but I do have three AL teams, and I've mentioned it before. The top three AL teams, Red Sox, Astros, and the Yankees. They are leaps and bounds in my mind, the top three in a whole league. And then you got the Dodgers and the NL. I still think the Dodgers, with their pitching, they do got some pump. I think their offense will struggle losing Machado a little bit, but you know how it is. Trade deadline will come along, and these big market teams will trade for a big bat, and they'll get it. So I expect the Dodgers to do that. With the Red Sox, obviously, their weakness is got to be the bullpen, especially with Kimbrel not there. Their closer now is Ryan Brazier, if I said his name right. Like I said, the Red Sox are the same situation. They'll get to the trade deadline, they'll trade for a good closer, and they'll move on. The Yankees, I still think their starter rotation can be improved a little bit more, so it's going to be pitching. Their lineup is deadly as ever, unless they regress, especially Yankees to do some damage. I mean, that AL East, man, is going to be fun to watch. Red Sox and Yankees rivalries is alive as ever. You got to love it. The Astros, their question marks, really, they haven't improved since last season. You know, they're going to lose one of their starting pitchers. They lost some hitting, but they're still going to be up there. And just like every other team I mentioned, when it comes that trade deadline, they're going to trade for exactly what they need, and they will get it. But as long as Justin Verlander's there in the Astros, they're in great shape. So expect them to do damage. So obviously, the Dodgers are going to make the World Series. So who out of the three in the AL, Red Sox, Astros, or Yankees, will make the World Series? And here's my pick. I still think, and I'm not being a homer, or maybe I am being a homer, and you decide, okay, I'm being a homer. I think the Red Sox will make the World Series. And the reason why is I think their lineup, batting lineup, you know, with Mookie Betts and all of them, are going to get better. I expect Rafael Devers, the third baseman, to have a breakout year. He was actually he was showing spots of last year of really breaking out. He's starting to show more power. His batting average is going up. Dustin Pedroia is coming back. I would like to see him, if he's even half of himself what he used to be. He's a great defensive second baseman. He has good average. So I expect the Red Sox lineup to be just as potent. They're really quick on defense. They just need to shore up that bullpen. Now the Yankees are right there. As much as I hate the Yankees, I would put them ahead of the Astros just because of their lineup alone. They are great. And they will get the starting pitcher they want. I'm really interested to see CC Sabathia and how he'll do in his last year. He signed up for one more year before he retires, going for one last hurrah. And he's going to be the question mark. They're going to need him to be pitching at a high level, or they could be in big, big, big trouble. So that is my base. So I think it'll be Red Sox and Dodgers in the World Series. This is early, early, early. And I think the Red Sox, obviously, will win the World Series against the Dodgers, since the Dodgers did lose some punch. And this is, with me saying that, this is because I think the Red Sox will get their closer they need, even if they do sign Craig Kimbrel in the last minute, or they trade for one. And like I said, the Dodgers will make it because they'll trade for another bat if they need to. Because the Dodgers, the Red Sox, really, the Dodgers, Red Sox, and the Yankees, those are three teams that are willing to spend whatever it takes to win. The Astros, I'm not so sure they would. We'll see in the next few years when some of the younger guys want bigger contracts. Now we're going to move on quick today. This is not going to be the longest podcast. I would like to thank you for joining me. And once again, all you got to do is get on Spotify, Breaker. You can get on Google Podcast to check me out. All you have to do is search Game Point with Mr. Fundamental. And I will show up there and we'll just talk sports. I come on every week on Monday. I record it. My beautiful wife and producer, she takes out all my breathing or my mess ups or my stumbles, so it sounds a lot more crisp and clear to you guys. And we put it out about 6 p.m. every Monday evening. So check it out every week. Game Point with Mr. Fundamental, and thanks for joining me. Well, now since we're in the middle, or going towards the end of the NBA season, let's get into basketball. You like basketball, I like basketball, we all like basketball. Let's get into it. Now, we all know, last week I talked about the Lakers sticking a fork in it, and this was before they played the Clippers last week and lost. Obviously, I was right. I'm always right. Mr. Fundamental's rarely wrong. Lakers have stuck a fork in it. They shut down Ingram and Ball already. And now, since the Lakers are out of it, now the blame game can start. Who do we blame for the Lakers being bad? Do we blame LeBron? I mean, just the other night in a home game, you had Lakers fans chanting, "We want Kobe, we want Kobe." That's got to sting, doesn't it, LeBron? Obviously, people that listen to my podcast know I'm not the biggest LeBron fan. I appreciate his talent, I appreciate his game, but I'm just not a big LeBron fan. So I'm just not going to bash him for things I don't think he needs to be bashed for. And this is one of them. It is not his fault the Lakers are terrible. Is it his fault that maybe it spiraled quicker at the end, spiraled down and crashed? Yes, because obviously he wanted to trade the whole team away for Anthony Davis, and that probably hurt the locker room. But it's not his fault. Is it Luke Walton's fault? A lot of people are making Luke Walton the scapegoat. And let me tell you something, this is very unfair. Luke Walton is not a bad coach. He is not a great, great coach either. He's still a young coach, so he's still learning and finding his way. But let me tell you something. Let's remember, guys, just before Christmas, the Lakers were the fourth seed. Let me repeat, the Lakers were the fourth seed. And before I go on to that fourth seed talk, let's think about Luke Walton, his first couple years in LA. He improved the wins every year. So to blame Luke Walton, are you crazy? Let's go back. On Christmas, they were the fourth seed in the West. Then LeBron got hurt. Things started to spiral from then. And then they wanted to trade the whole team for Anthony Davis and didn't succeed. So no, it's not LeBron's fault. No, it's not Luke Walton's fault. Do I think Luke Walton's going to get fired? Of course he's going to get fired. And I feel bad for him. And I hope he gets another chance somewhere else. I hope he does. I really do. I think he will. Dwayne Casey of Toronto, who got fired last year and got picked up right away. But it's not his fault. It's not LeBron's fault. I'm going to tell you whose fault it is. It's Magic's fault. Magic Johnson, if you can hear me, let me tell you something. You messed this up big time. We talked about it last week and how you messed things up, how you could have got PG-13, but you decided not to trade for him because you thought he was going to come to LA land because of you and the beautiful scenery and the weather. He stayed in Oklahoma City. You're in trouble. You probably had a chance to trade for Kawhi, but he went to Toronto. He's going to go to the Clippers anyway. I think you knew that. We all knew that. But here's the problem. You got LeBron. That was a good move. Well, actually, LeBron came to you. You didn't have to do nothing. LeBron wanted to come here anyway. He had business reasons. He wanted to be in Hollywood. He wanted to make Space Jam 2. He wanted to make movies. He wanted to be the next billionaire. He's going to do that. But here's where you went wrong. You built the wrong team around him. Now, I love Rondo. Like I said, I'm a homer. I'm a Boston guy. I love my Celtics. I love my Red Sox. I love my Patriots. I have a little soft spot for Rondo. He helped us win a championship in 2008. But that guy can't shoot. Lance Stephenson. He's kind of a bipolar head case guy. But I love his energy. Playmaking ability. But he can't shoot. You bring in JaVale McGee. I know he's a big man. You know, you need a rim protector. He can't shoot for nothing. So you got the best player in the world, who when he drives, you have 2, 3, maybe 4, maybe even the whole team trying to guard him. So that means someone's open to pass the ball out to. How many times did you see it these past 5 or 6 games that they put LA on national TV? Will you see LeBron pass it to a wide open Rondo? Brick. Why would you do that? But here's the move that I was really concerned with. I kind of understood why they didn't sign him at the time, because they wanted to keep the cap space for this upcoming summer that we're about to hit in 2019. But what I was really going crazy about was why they did not sign Julius Randle. Now this guy, power forward, I loved his game. Yeah, he wasn't really a stretch guy yet, but as young as he was, like you see a lot of players now, they're learning to shoot. I'm pretty sure Julius Randle will learn how to shoot threes. But this guy can flat out play. And when in my mind, before he signed with the New Orleans Pelicans, I was thinking, okay, I understand why you didn't sign a Magic, because you wanted to keep cap space to bring in another max with LeBron. But then when I saw what Julius Randle signed with New Orleans, I was thinking to myself, what the hell? This dude signed a 2-year, $18 million with a player option. With a player option for the New Orleans Pelicans, which means he's just going to opt out. Magic, you couldn't do the same thing for him in LA? Because 2 years, player option, if he would have opted out, which he probably would have, because I know he would have had a great year this year for LA, you could have signed your free agent anyway. That's the guy that they shouldn't let get away, because he can play on the post. He's a high energy guy. He's a good rebounding guy. He even plays decent defense at times. Not so quick footed. So I'm talking about like defensive, like help defense. And you let him get away. So this further tells me how Magic has messed this up, because here's the thing with Magic, and here's the thing with a lot of GMs in any sport, where their biggest mistake is they have a plan A, and they put all their eggs in a basket for plan A. But if plan A don't work, they got to have a fallback plan B. Magic didn't have that plan B, because Magic was banking on everybody wants to come to LA. It's showtime, baby. Which he doesn't realize, which we talked about in previous podcasts, is maybe it's the LA Clippers now. Because guess what? The LA Clippers play in the same stadium. In addition to that, they have the same weather. They have the same people that live there. It's just a name. And I don't think Magic really realized that that can become true in LA, that the Clippers can become the big brother. And let me tell you something, man. The more and more I look at these standings and I see the Clippers, who have won four straight, who are entrenched in that eighth seed. I mean, they are four games above the Sacramento Kings. I am impressed. Doc Rivers, man, got these guys playing out their mind. Patrick Beverley has become one of my favorite defensive pests. Have you seen him on LeBron James last week? I mean, he was guarding LeBron James. Patrick Beverley's all about 6'2". And he was moving LeBron James around. LA Clippers, the team in LA now. I know for the past 50, 60 years, you've said the Clippers have been just horrible, horrible. And the little sister of the LA Lakers. But guess what, guys? I think things are changing. The LA Clippers will be the big brother of LA. And with that said, fast forward 40 years from now, I'm going to be talking to one of my grandkids, and I'm going to say, man, those Lakers used to be great. And they're going to look at me like I'm nuts. They're going to say, what are you talking about? The Lakers suck. They've sucked for years. Well, that's where we're about to go. They're about to get their Magic. So you better make some moves this summer. If not, you're going to be the little sister for a while. But LA Clippers, man, 8th seed, 4 games ahead. They're looking to make the playoffs, even after trading their best player, Tobias Harris. Doc Rivers, again, I think it's the 3rd week in a row that I'm going to say kudos on you. You're proving that you're a great coach. He's been a great coach for a long time, by the way. But let's get into the standings right here before we get to other teams. Obviously, San Antonio Spurs are on a 5-game win streak of their own. They are in the 7th seed. They can move easily all the way to the 3rd seed if they want to. I think they'll be the 6th seed when it's all done. And if you, anybody in the top 3 seeds, the last team you want to see is a Greg Popovich San Antonio Spurs team. That is plain out scary. San Antonio Spurs have underperformed at times. DeMar DeRozan's been okay. LaMarcus Aldridge has been pretty good. They just haven't been consistent enough together. I saw a little spot come up on ESPN saying when those two guys each score over 25, their win percentage is 1,000 or 100%, 8-0. When Aldridge scores over 25 points, they win 81% of their games. When just DeRozan scores 25 points, they win 59. So if those guys can just get going in the playoffs, it's scary. And there's one player that LaMarcus Aldridge is known to go off in the playoffs. So if the San Antonio Spurs have an 81% win percentage when that man scores over 25 points a game in the playoffs, and he's known to perform well in the playoffs, with maybe the exception of last year, he had some bad games last year, but the years prior, he's been a beast. They're scary. So right now, they're the 7th seed. I want you to put this on paper and write it down, because like I said, Mr. Funimal is really wrong. If the playoffs started right now and it was the San Antonio Spurs versus the Denver Nuggets, write it down, Jim Rats. San Antonio would win that series. They would win. Now, obviously, if San Antonio fell to 8th seed for some reason, played Golden State, I'd still pick Golden State, but it'd be tough. That was one first round Golden State would not want. It wouldn't go 5 games. It would go maybe 6 or 7, because San Antonio's for real. San Antonio does lack some point guard play, been inconsistent. Defense has still been inconsistent, but they got two guys that can put the ball in the basket, and I just gave the stats to you. When they score over 25 together, undefeated. When LaMarcus Aldridge is the only one that scores over 25, they're 81%. DeMar DeRozan, when he scores over 25, they're about, 59%. You take those percentages in the playoffs, you're doing well. You can get up there. moving on from San Antonio to another Texas team that I know that everybody's going to be happy about. But you see these Rockets, and these Rockets I've bashed over and over again. Here I am living in Houston, bashing the hometown team. I'm not bashing them, saying they're bad. I'm just saying they're not going to go anywhere in the playoffs. But this team is on an 8-game winning streak. They are in the third seed, which is a beautiful spot to be in, because that means you don't play Golden State until the Western Conference Finals. And then you play, if everything shapes out, let's say Denver Nuggets do win in the first round, you play a young, inexperienced Denver Nuggets team in the second round. So your first two rounds, you might have a tough one against Utah Jazz, who are number 6 right now, but you're definitely making the Western Conference Finals. Now, does that change my mind that you can beat the Golden State Warriors? No. Can they? Possibly. And when I say possibly, I mean this in one way, and that is on defense end. What I've been most impressed with the Rockets is their defense has picked up. In the last three games, they played the Mavericks, the 76ers, and the Raptors. Now, the 76ers and the Raptors are a pretty high-exposed team. All three games, they allowed 95 points or lower. That's what I'm impressed by. Yeah, you have Harden averaging 36 points a game. That's another reason why they're doing so well. 36 points a game, man. That's Jordan numbers. Now, the big thing is, if Harden can translate that to playoffs, then the Rockets can be a threat. But Clint Capela, this is the man that to me has drove this 8-game winning streak. He protects the rim. He is also a perfect pick and roll offensive player for Harden or Chris Paul. So Clint Capela is the reason why the Rockets are so high and were last year. If I made a podcast last year, you would have heard me say it all the time. Clint Capela is the main, I want to say main reason, but he is the X factor of the Houston Rockets' success. And the Rockets just keep climbing and climbing. Really, they're only 4 games back of first place. And this was a team that was, early in the season, was in the 7th, 8th, 6th seed. But they've been rising and playing well, and they're scary. So Houston Rockets fans, do I take it back that they can compete for a title? Not all the way. You got to show me first. It's just like Toronto all those years. Every year we say, oh, Toronto, this is the year. And then they stink it up in the playoffs. It's the same thing for the Rockets. Does D'Antoni, can Chris Paul stay healthy? What about James Harden? Can he perform? Those three things have to happen for the Houston Rockets to beat the Golden State Warriors. And that brings us to the Golden State Warriors. The Golden State Warriors, are they a mess? They just lost to the Phoenix Suns. They got blown out by Boston earlier in the week. And of course, everybody wants to say, is Golden State the favorites? Come on, guys. What did I tell you? Did we ever learn anything about the podcast that I come out with? Think about this. It's the regular season. It doesn't matter. But does that mean there are problems in Golden State? Yes, there are problems in Golden State. I pay attention to basketball, and there's a big problem in Golden State. And this gets me to think that this might be Golden State's last hurrah, because next year, they're just going to be average. Here's why. There's one problem they have, and it's Draymond Green. Steve Kerr and him are not in good terms. Everybody knows Draymond is huge with his personality. He can be tough to coach. He can be tough to control. He's one of those head case type of players. But you take him because he plays so well. He does so much. Well, guess what? He's averaging 7, 7, and 7. 7 points, 7.5 rebounds, 7.1 assists, which if you look at those stats, are not bad because he does a little bit of everything. But rebounds and points-wise is the lowest it's been in 5 years. Shooting percentage is down, and he's not playing well whatsoever. He doesn't get along with his teammates so well. You saw the earlier in the year, him and Durant going after it. And the problem is, he's got 2 years left with $18 million per. Now, this is where the Golden State Warriors might have made a mistake. They should have tried to trade him at the trade deadline. And since they didn't, this is why I predict the Golden State Warriors are just going to be an average basketball team this year. Bear with me. Let's move forward and talk about why I believe this. One, Draymond Green is still on the team. Kevin Durant, I guarantee, does not like him. Why the hell you think Kevin Durant's going to sign for Golden State next year? He's not. You lost one of the best, if not the best, player in the world next year to New York Knicks. Yeah, I said it. Am I right? I'll say I'm about 75% right on this one. On top of that, if he goes, Klay Thompson wants a huge deal. What makes you think Klay Thompson won't go to the Clippers or the Lakers? I can see him leaving. Now, if he leaves, Splash Brothers is done. DeMarcus Cousins, we all know, is going to go. We don't know where he's going to go, but he'll go somewhere. So you're telling me that next year, that it's going to be Stephen Curry and Draymond Green and a bunch of role players trying to take Golden State to the next level? Not going to happen, but this is what I predict. And I think the biggest reason why is because of Draymond. You should have traded him at the trade deadline because he's a problem child. If the guy was averaging 14, 9, and 7 like he was a few years ago when he was an all-star, you deal with it because he's doing so well. But the numbers he's averaging now ain't worth it. Now, will they win a championship this year? Of course they will. I mean, come on. You still got Kevin Durant. You still got the Splash Brothers. You got the Marcus Cousins. You still got all those players. But next year, you might not have them. To me, Kevin Durant is gone. And I think the biggest reason why is because Draymond's still there. So you still got a chance, Golden State. Listen and listen well. During the offseason, since it is the last year of his contract, 2019-2020 is the last year of Draymond's, I would find a taker. I wouldn't care what you traded him for. Get him out of there and say, okay, Durant, we still want you here. Please sign. To Klay Thompson, we freed some money for you so we're not so much in the tax threshold. Please sign. Yep, that can happen. And that's what Golden State's got to do. But for everybody saying, is Golden State not the favorites to win the West? Is horse, you know what? Because it's still the regular season. And like I told you many a times, the regular season does not matter at all. Doesn't matter. Won't ever matter. Thank you very much. And that's it on Golden State. Now, of course, I'm going to touch base on the East. Last week, I thrashed my Celtics. I was a guy that said the Celtics are making the finals no matter what. Last week, I actually switched my pick just because I think the Celtics are a mess. And then what do? They go ahead and blow out Golden State. But let's retract to my old statements. Regular season doesn't matter. So am I impressed by them beating up on Golden State and then beating Sacramento and then beating a Lakers team that's on a spiral? No, I'm not impressed. Celtics, show me this. Show me that you can win 5 to 10 games in a row. You've won 5. They've been on streaks this year where they won 5 or 6 games in a row. But then they, after a good, impressive 5-game winning streak, they lose to lowly teams. Celtics, impress me by this. Do not lose to one team under 500 the rest of the season. And then beat Indiana Pacers that's on your schedule. And then still dominate the Philadelphia 76ers and move into that third seed. You do that, I'll get right back on the, here we go Celtics, we're going to the finals. But they have looked good. Kyrie Irving and all them said, hey, you know, that 24, or, you know, the plane ride across the country did us some good. And that makes me think, so only on long plane rides is only time you get to chat with your team and bond with your team? Kind of crazy, huh? But it's probably true, especially in a day and age where now you can't even go on a date without both people on a date looking at their phones the whole time. It's a lot different than it was back in the day. Obviously, back in the day, maybe they had those little Walkmans that they listened to radio on the airplanes, but now you can do whatever you want. But whatever works, I'm a Celtic fan, I hope it works. But that third seed is what I want to talk about in the East, because that third seed is huge for teams like Philadelphia and Boston, and here's why. If you Boston and Philadelphia, you do not want to be the fourth and fifth seed. Imagine Philadelphia 76ers. Their goal this year was to go farther than last year. The Boston Celtics, their goal was to go farther than they did last year. If they met in the first round, one of them going home. Ouch. And these are two teams that can possibly win the East. But Philadelphia just climbed into that spot. I still expect Indiana to fall. But that third spot is even huge, if even Indiana falls even further. Because check this out. You want to play a team like Detroit in the first round. Even though Detroit has picked it up lately, I think they're on a 5-game winning streak. But then you don't have to play Milwaukee in the second round. I think Milwaukee right now is by far the best team in the East as of right now. And they can challenge the Warriors in the NBA Finals. They really can. I said it week by week. So that third seed is huge. Because right now there's only a game that separates the Celtics and Philadelphia for that third seed. And this is why I think the Celtics need that third seed for me to change my mind about them going to the finals. And you could say, hey, Mr. Fundamental, I thought you said you're always right. Well, guess what? I am. But we can always flip-flop. That's why in radio, in podcasts, us analysts, we can flip-flop all we want. We flip what we see. And what I've seen is inconsistency from the Boston Celtics. I'm not sold on Kyrie Irving as being the super leader of the team. But he is a playoff performer, so he might prove me wrong. You never know. The Celtics might do what they did last year, go to the playoffs and just shine. And that's what a lot of people expect. That's why you hear some of these analysts say, well, I cannot quite let go of the Celtics being successful in the playoffs because who they have and the talent they have. We're going to see. But that third seed is huge. That third seed is huge. And you know, if you're a Toronto fan and you listen to all these sportscasters, or you're a Toronto fan, listen to my podcast, you should be pissed off. Because I'm talking about, oh, being the third seed so I can play Toronto. Toronto is the real deal. I can see Toronto going to the championship as well. But even though it's a different team than last year and different coach, you got to show me in the playoffs. I'm not falling for it anymore. Every year I say, oh man, Toronto's going to do it this year. Like last year I even said, oh man, Toronto might beat, I think Toronto's going to beat Cleveland. Toronto going to the finals. And they get swept. I got fooled once again. So guess what? I'm not taking that bait no more. Toronto, prove it to me when you get all the way there. If you make the Eastern Conference Finals, that's a win for you guys. That's a win. Because like I said, I think Milwaukee's still going to win it. And it'll be fun. And we'll all have fun watching it. Exciting NBA action, baby. Gotta love it. Houston Rockets on the rise. Teams like Brooklyn. I love seeing Brooklyn compete. 35 and 33. Gonna make the playoffs this year. Gonna make the playoffs unless something terrible happens. They lose six games in a row. But they're on a three-game winning streak themselves. So it's gonna be fun watching them. You know, one thing I do like, even though they're the worst team in the league, I like the Phoenix Suns on how they compete. You know, I know as a Suns fan, and for you Suns fans, I guess, you know, I guess if I was a Suns fan, I wouldn't want them to win at all because I need that lottery pick. You know, here you are creeping up on Cleveland for the, you know, this tied for the second worst record in the league. You need to lose as much as possible, and you beat the Golden State Warriors, but that's what I like as a fan. Me and a buddy of mine were actually talking about the Lakers shutting down LeBron. And I got fired up about this. And this is the last thing I'm going to talk about before I go. If the Lakers shut down LeBron, that would really piss me off. Not because they're trying to tank. It's because how soft I think the NBA has got with players. Let me tell you something. You're getting paid whatever millions of dollars a year to play basketball. If you're healthy, you better play. Because you got to think about this. Think about this. When I was a kid, I was only allowed to watch Larry Bird once a year. I lived in Colorado. So every time the Celtics came to Denver, I got to see my basketball hero, Larry Bird. And I remember one game, I don't know how old I was. I think I was 9, my brother was 3. My dad took me and my brother to the game, and the Denver Nuggets were just whooping on the Celtics. I think it was like a 15-point game at halftime, I don't remember. And I remember my little brother crying, and I was pissed. And my dad's like, man, don't worry about it. Larry's going to come out in the second half and dominate. He sure did. He dominated, they won. And let me tell you something, the standings, the Celtics were by far the best team in the NBA. They were by far the best team in the East. And this was around, I think this was around March, this game was. Now, if the league was like it was today back then, Larry Bird probably would have sat the game out with a did not play because of rest. And my basketball hero, I would have never got to see. I would have went to a Denver Nugget game versus Celtics and not been able to see Larry Bird. You know how pissed I would have been as a little kid? Think about all these fans that come and pay to watch these games and you got superstar players sitting because they need rest. Are you kidding me? I understand if you got the flu or you're injured. You're sick. That happens. Let me tell you something. I'm just a regular working man. If I want tomorrow off because I'm tired, it's not happening. because I need to put money on the table. Now, I know these dudes make millions a year and they can afford it. So maybe we should come up with the rule, NBA, that if these guys get a player did not rest, they should be fined. Yeah, I said it. They should be fined. If you are healthy and you can play. Now, unless like something family event, you know, like if someone dies, you go to the funeral, I understand. I know there's stuff that happens with the family. But if you just want to rest or you just wanted to take the rest of the season off so your team can tank, you should be fined. Because you got these guys, these dads who work 40-hour week jobs, maybe for $12 an hour, who save up for a full year to get him and his son NBA tickets to watch LeBron James sit on his butt. That's why I'm actually kudosing LeBron James for still playing. Now, I know his minutes are restricted, but so what? That kid can still see his basketball hero in a Laker uniform play basketball. So I'm actually happy that LeBron's playing. But I'm still sick and tired of all these superstars did not play rest. Now, me and my father have talked about, you know, Greg Popovich started this years ago. And I actually, as a coach, I thought, well, this is a good idea. But at the same time, I thought, well, that sucks for a kid that wants to see Tim Duncan play or their hero play on the East Coast. And Greg Popovich sits him down. That sucks for the kid. And I'm all about the kids, baby. So that's how I'm going to close today's podcast. So thanks for joining me. Joining me next week, Jim Ratz. We'll talk more sports. Remember, you can hit me up on Spotify. All you got to do, put Game Point by Mr. Fundamental, and I'll come up. You can hit me on Pocket Cast, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, all the above. Thanks for joining me. I'll talk to you guys next week. Let's get it.